This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. As you can hear, we have a slightly different recorder going today. I actually forgot the recorder at home today. And then I thought, oh, it's good. I forgot the recorder at home because my wife was going to be riding home with me because we were going to leave her van here. And then some other things changed. And she needed to stay at church a little longer, so that I'm coming in, and then I didn't have my notes, blah, 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 blah. The upshot is I'm recording this on my phone. So there you go. So it's episode 469. Straight off our fabulous success of the 9 years worth of podcast, we are now starting year 10. Year 10. Great. So it's fun. I think I'd mentioned last week that last Friday was going to be Leprechaun Day. That was fun. I thought it went well. Most people seem to enjoy it. there's always a few that, you know, you get looks from people like, who is this weirdo? So, but that's okay. That's all right. You know? I had breakfast. Fine young man. And a lot of the people at the restaurant, you know, reacted pretty well. So that's fine. And then I came to see my dad, and he actually reacted pretty well. I think I had crushed velvet green leggings on, and I think my dad couldn't tell that they were leggings. I think they just looked like pants to him. So, for those of you who might be joining us late on this parade, I go grocery shopping the same time every week. I go on Friday mornings. That way I get to know all the people that I encounter, like at Walmart, you know, the staff that's stocking shelves. I will go by and say, how are you today? And I'll do that, you know, for someone who's new for 2 months or whatever. And there will, at some point, there will be something, usually, that makes a connection. Whether it's a t-shirt or funny comments, something, usually I can make a connection somewhere in there. And I know when it happens, because I can see their face light up and stuff. And then from there on out, you know, when I see them, I wave and say, how are you today? And, you know, we have a little moment. So I try to do that every week. Usually it's some kind of silly t-shirt, and I wear my skinny jeans and roll up my pants and kind of some kind of silly socks and, you know, just something to make a connection. But 4 times a year, then I do something more. So the Friday before Christmas is Elf Day. The Friday before St. Patrick's Day is Leprechaun Day. The Friday before 4th of July is Uncle Sam Day. And then the Friday before Halloween is Crazy Paisley Day. And so it's a full-blown outfit of some sort. So at least that's what it has evolved into. So for Crazy Paisley Day, I had a shirt from a company called Faux Real, F-A-U-X, new word, R-E-A-L, Faux Real. They do some really cool t-shirts. A lot of them are crude and it's not good, but they have some of these tuxedo t-shirts where they do like a 4th of July tuxedo shirt and an elf tuxedo. It's not elf tuxedo, it's just an elf outfit, but then there's also like a leprechaun tuxedo, cloverleaf tuxedo shirt. It's just printed, but it's a long sleeve t-shirt and it presents well. So I have one of those, and I had that last year, and then just some red and white, red and green socks, and then a big hat. I got myself the big leprechaun hat. Got that last year. So this year, I bought a green lizard and I posed it on top of the hat like it was getting ready to jump down off the hat. And then I got some ribbon and I made it a little scarf, and then I got it a little hat, its own little hat. And then I, like, you know, made a bow for the t-shirt, so it wasn't just the t-shirt, it had a little three-dimensionality on it. And then I had some green crushed velvet leggings that sort of matched the hat, and I got some shoes that were wedding shoes that were gold sparkly shoes, and I put some gold sequin buckles on them, and a gold sequin buckle on the hat. Then, of course, and I got some gold lamé gloves and gold lamé socks and a gold lamé turtleneck dickie kind of a thing, just to kind of tie that all together. And then, of course, to just top off the outfit, I got some gold sequin booty shorts that I wore underneath. You could just kind of barely see them because the t-shirt covered most of it, but you know. Anyways, so, you know, I was in full costume. And so then I just go about my merry way. And people, you know, I wish people a happy St. Patrick's Day. And so I get a variety of responses, as you can imagine. It's interesting, Elf Day, back at Christmas, there was an older man, kind of like an old Marine guy type of guy. When the second time I was checking out after I did my dad's grocery shopping, I, at that point, you know, had the full elf costume on, including the candy cane striped tights. And this guy looked at me and he grinned and said, "I like your outfit." So then we got to talking. Well, I saw him, I've seen him once before and said hello and greeted him, and we've chatted, we've kind of made a connection there. Well, I saw him again on St. Patrick's Day, and he kind of grinned, and I said, "How are you today, sir?" And so we shook hands, and my son-in-law happened to be in the vicinity at the time with his two kids, and so I introduced him to them. And, you know, Walmart started going pretty slow, but it, you know, there's happy here, happy there. And then when I got kind of over to the other side of Walmart, beside the groceries, then I started seeing more of the ladies that I know, and then things started taking off. Pictures were taken, you know, jokes were had, laughing was had, all that kind of stuff. Hugs were given. So that was all fun. And at one point when I was checking out, it was fun because I'm checking out and I'm jabbering with a lady who's in front of me in the line and the lady who's behind me in the line, and you know, the lady behind me wanted to take a picture, and sure, you know, do all that. And I'm noticing there's a lady, she's probably just younger than me, she's probably in her early 50s, and she's just staring at me. I mean, she's just staring at me, and you know, and I look over and kind of nod, she's just waiting, you know. So I finished getting checked out, and I kind of, you know, pushed my cart over there, and I said, "How are you today? Happy St. Patrick's Day," or something like that, you know. And she said, "It's my birthday tomorrow," which it is St. Patrick's Day, because this was Friday, it was the 16th, St. Patrick's Day is the 17th. So she said, "It's my birthday tomorrow." I said, "Well, hey, there you go." She said, "My name is Patrice." And I said, "Well, I don't think that was a coincidence." So she said, "Would it be okay if I got a picture?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely, sure." She said, "Well, I don't have my phone with me." She said, "But could we, because my sister is shopping and she'll be here in a little bit, could we just wait for her?" And I said, "Well, I tell you what, I've finished my grocery shopping, but I still have to do my dad's grocery shopping. So why don't I just go take this stuff out to the car, but I will be back in." I said, "So then I'll just do some grocery shopping, and then maybe we'll meet you at the checkout. We'll figure it out." She said, "Okay, that'll be great." So I went out, came back in. I'm doing my dad's grocery shopping. I really don't have much, you know. And as I'm walking along doing the thing, I'm saying Happy St. Patrick's Day, another lady comes up to me, and she said, "You know, my sister was born tomorrow." "Or my sister's birthday is tomorrow." I said, "I met your sister." And I said, "We've already talked about a picture, and I'm more than happy to do that." She had a couple of things to get, and I had a couple of things to get. So I said, "I tell you what, I'll get these couple of things." I said, "Give me about 5 minutes, I'll get this finished up." I said, "I'll check out, we'll get it done." So we got the picture taken, and they wanted a picture of me alone, et cetera, et cetera. And so that all went fine. And then I went over to my major client, because there's one office over there where they're all just crazy. I know them, and it's not in the main building, so I'm willing to go in there. I am a consultant, and so, you know, I don't want to freak people out with some of these things. So we got that. There were some other people that just kind of waved from the windows. We had arranged for that, and so that was all fun. And the kids in the crazy office, They, you know, the young people, I should say, them youngins, they're in their, you know, 20s. They're young to me. They loved the outfit. That was great. And I waved to the people up, and they all loved the outfit. And, so from there, I went over to the pharmacy because my dad had some pills I needed to take up. And one of the young cashiers, she just went effusive. I love your outfit. St. Patrick's Day is my favorite holiday. So she came over and we, you know, took pictures. And then I went to the office of my dad's physician, because I always drop in and see them on the big days because they want me to come by. And so we hooped and hollered, took pictures. And so, yes, it was a success. Then, of course, the day after, usually it doesn't hit me this fast. I guess I'm just looking for more dopamine or something. But the day after, I wake up and it's like, well, gotta get started on 4th of July now. So I start looking around on and off as I've got a few moments here and there. And I finally decide, you know, it'd be really cool to have a coat, like a tuxedo coat with tails, sequins, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, where am I gonna find this? And so I look around. I eventually find Apollo Creed's, the character Apollo Creed from the Rocky movies. He was wearing like an Uncle Sam tails and tuxedos outfit and that kind of stuff. And then I thought, oh yeah, it's an Uncle Sam outfit. And so I kind of was looking around for that because I couldn't find an Apollo's Creed outfit. So I was kind of looking around for an Uncle Sam outfit. And I found that, except, and it was, it's, I'm hoping it's a great outfit, except it's like listed for like $330, and I'm like, no, maybe I can put something else together. Then I found it a couple of places for like $225, and I'm still like, but then of course this little voice in the back of my head says, maybe you should check eBay. So checked eBay. They had one on eBay, one, $62, supposedly new with tags and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, okay, I'll take. So, it's just so interesting. It's just so, you know, if that type of thing only happened every once in a while, that would be one thing. Whoa, my little recorder's just slid to the side I was going around for. If that type of thing only happened once in a while, that would be one thing. But the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm jabbering away here, and I'm hoping this is still recording. Wake up. Let me see if you're still recording. I think you're still recording. It's, the thing is flashing, but it's gone to sleep. Yeah, hey, we're still recording. Okay, 13 minutes, we're good. Just check, because, you know, this isn't my number. And now I'm driving by Braille, my wife calls that. So, anyways, got that ordered. And, you know, that kind of thing, where all of a sudden there's a push. We'll say it's in my spirit, and it wasn't because of dopamine. All of a sudden there's a push to do something. So I start checking some things out, and I keep getting this, yep, keep pushing. And then all of a sudden there's a suggestion, and then all of a sudden it's like click, and there it is. That's what I'm looking for. That kind of thing happens to me frequently. And I have come over the years to really associate that with Jesus whispers, or Jesus giggles, we call them both. And just this week, Alan, my son-in-law, is going to be doing a sermon on the relationship with Christ for Easter and what Easter means to that. And so they wanted to do some video recording of some people, someone who was new in the faith, and, you know, someone who had battled some things out in their lives, and then also someone who had been in the faith for a while and, you know, has a relationship. And so they asked me if I'd just talk about my relationship. And sure, you know, great, love to do that. So I started working on this thing, and it's like, you know, 3.5-4 minutes and stuff, but it's got all these illustrations, and I talk to them, and I'm like, okay, so it's like 3.5, and they're like, well, we normally like it to 2 minutes. 2 minutes! Okay! But I put together this little thing for 2 minutes. and I'll do it for you here just in a minute. Except right now, I am looking ahead down the road, and I am seeing someone is burning something, and it's like not quite where my house is. So I don't think it's my house, and I don't think it's my kid's house. I think it's farther down, so I think it's okay. But I don't think it's the rock house, so as long as it's those things. Anyway, so I put this together and went in yesterday, and we laid it down and recorded. I would have done it in one take, but the videographer, the young man I actually had breakfast with on Friday, the videographer, the microphone is really directional, and I didn't know that. And so as I was doing my recording of my first take, I heard him do this big, long inhale and exhale, and I'm thinking, that's going to show up. And finally, I stopped talking. I looked at him and I said, is that going to show up on the microphone? And he was like, oh no, it'll be fine. But of course, by that time, then I needed to do another take. But anyway, so what they wanted to talk about was your internal relationship with Jesus. So we'll get that going here in just a minute. So I'll give you the little speech. And this is really one of the reasons I decided to do this today as opposed to tomorrow, because I thought, you know, I'm sure at some point I have talked about this on the podcast. I just have no doubt that I've talked about this on the podcast. Since it's such a core thing for me, I know I've talked about some pieces of it. Oh, just a second. There's something down there at the bottom. One moment. Some kind of bill, it looks like. Oh, I am so close. I am just so close. Oh, come on. Come on, I can get this. Here, do it this way. Titan propane. Yes, I have paid this bill. This was the latest bill that came in. Amount enclosed. Yes, I have paid that bill. Yay. Okay. Anyways, so I thought, have I talked about this? I surely have. But I'll give you a little spiel that I gave to the camera. And then kind of talk a little bit about... My daughter was in there for the recording, and she's the creative director, I think. We mentioned that last week. She's the creative director or something like that. Communications director for the church now. And so she was in there, and so she asked me some follow-on questions. And so basically my little spiel went something like this. I'm fond of saying that if ever there was a child born with a spiritual silver spoon in his or her mouth, it's me. Missionary kid, grew up in the Philippines, born to parents who love me, born to parents who loved God, born to parents committed to the advancing of the kingdom. But more than that, born to parents who truly believed that God was an ever-present help in time of trouble. And most of all, born to a mom who believed that God would speak to her every day, that he would give her his wisdom, that he would give her his strength for whatever task lay ahead. She instilled that expectation in me as well. When I would go to her with a problem, her first response was, "Have you asked Jesus to help you?" I would often say, "No. Go back out there and ask Jesus to help you." Okay. I've made that my practice now for many years, and it has worked out really, really well, but it's only been in recent years that I've come to understand that there is a name for this type of living. That name is abundance. Abundance. You know, we quote the verse, "I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly," but we miss the context of that verse, because when Jesus said that, he was in the middle of the parable on the good shepherd. So he was really saying, "I as the good shepherd am come that they, my flock, might have life and have it more abundantly." And in the verses that precede that verse, Jesus talks about his sheep. He says, "My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. I call them by name and I lead them out." Everyone who heard Jesus that day knew that he was talking about a daily process, because that's what shepherds did every day. They called their sheep, they led them. I've made a practice now of this for almost 60 years, and I can tell you, it's wonderful. So that was my little spiel. So then Lizzie, we got to talking, but one of the things Lizzie asked, she said, was there ever like a moment when you said, oh, hey, that's the voice of God? And I can't, you know, there was just this expectation in our house that, oh, yeah, Jesus is going to talk to you. I mean, one of the first clear things that I remember is when I was 10 or so, 9 or 10, somewhere in there, walking out of my house, walking down the sidewalk. There were gardenia bushes on the side. They were in bloom. There was that the smell of the gardenia flower, which is a gorgeous smell. And I was thinking about what I had seen in behaviors and how some of the missionaries, I saw their behavior and there was anger and there was fear. And I was thinking, you know what, this doesn't, if we say we believe all the things that we say we believe, why is there this fear and this anger? And then I heard this little question. I wonder what it would be like if someone just tried to live, if they just acted like they believed the Bible was true. What would that look like? And the response within my spirit was, you know, I'm going to try that. I remember very clearly that was one of the early times. But there were, you know, when that happened, it was like, yeah, okay. You know, Jesus talking to me. You know, that was an impression from God. And it's funny because even now, when I knew I was going to be making that little spiel for church, you know, the flesh will come against you and we'll say, well, you know, if you talk about this, you know, people are just going to think you're on your high horse about, well, I live the abundant life and you don't, you know, that's what people are going to think. And I'm like, no, you know, and if you talk about it, well, you know, then it's never going to happen again. And especially Wednesday, you know, there was this tension, a little battle underneath. And in fact, I was fasting on Wednesday, as I normally do, and I was a little more tired because I've been working on the cover for the book, and so I've been shaving off my sleep time down to 6 hours a night, and that's just a little slim for me. I can make it work, but it's a little slim. So I was tired Wednesday, and I was working along trying to find how a certain type of problem got triggered on our new engine, and like the support people had never been able to trigger it, and I had never been able to reliably trigger it. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to sit down, try to get this triggered so I can turn it into the support people so the support people can find this and fix it over at K2. And, you know, there's all this, all like, you're never going to find it. You're never going to find it because, you know, you're tired and you shouldn't, don't have enough sleep and you're fasting. You're never going to find it. And I just thought, no, Jesus is going to help me. And Jesus, would you help me find this? And it wasn't very long after that. It was like, click, hey, there it is. So I wrote up all the notes and sent it off to them. But even now, after all these years, after living this way, it's still a battle. It's still a battle every day to focus on God's voice, to focus on ignoring the flesh, listen, that he's there. And I'm convinced he's talking to everybody. I really am. I believe the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Paul said that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, that God in Christ Jesus reconciled the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them. So I think the Holy Spirit is wooing and drawing, and I know I call it Jesus whispers, and it's probably really the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit really doesn't mind. Because he's just trying to point us all towards Jesus. So, yes, Holy Spirit, I do thank you for speaking to me. Yes, Jesus, I thank you for speaking to me. But, you know, this process, this abundance, really is available to everyone. It's just a matter of quieting our hearts and listening. I have stories from other friends, but this is already long, so I gotta quit. This process of abundance is available. It's available. It's amazing what starts happening if people will just get quiet. But as with everything, with Jesus and life, we have free will. So Jesus will be trying to speak to us, but if we allow ourselves to get riled up and get angry and not listen, or even if we do hear, not act, you know, that's fine. That's our choice. But we might be missing out on things just working out for us, because just like Jesus says, you've got to hear his voice. You've got to know his voice. You've got to realize that he's speaking to you specifically, that he is calling your name, and that he is trying to lead you in the right direction. And then you have to cooperate with that, because you can know the direction you're supposed to go, but if you don't take steps and go that direction, you won't get there. It's a silly example, but if I didn't go out to eBay, I wouldn't have found the one sparkly sequin blue coat for $60 as opposed to $220. You have to act. You have to hear, you have to know, you have to realize he's calling your name, that he is leading you, and then you have to follow. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home. And it's going to take me a minute to find the button to stop this. Have a great week.